Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Let us talk a little Giant football, the National Football League. A Giants insider and one of my favorite people in football in general, not just in football, and one of the best-dressed people I have ever met, and I've told him that over and over again, and I love him, the great Paul Dottino. P-Dot, how are you? Merry Christmas to you and yours, my friend. You doing the whole Fishers thing?
You know what? First of all, Ricky, Merry Christmas to you, of course, and I am the only Italian on the face of the earth that does not eat seafood and does not watch soccer.
Wait a minute. Time out. Hold on a second. No seafood at all?
No seafood at all. I had a bad experience with seafood when I was a youngster. Mm-hmm. And psychologically, there is a block inside my brain that says no seafood. And unless I get hypnotized, it's not going to happen.
So we go to Umberto's Clam House and you're ordering a steak?
Yes.
And no feast of the seven fishes, or your family will have it. You'll have a separate menu.
That is correct. Everyone else in my family will have it, but I will have to go for the prime rib.
Before we go any further,
can I just allow me to take 20 seconds to just salute Dole Kramer? Please,
yes.
Can I do that?
Absolutely.
Because that man. People who listen to this program may not understand what a high-level professional and what a staple he has been in this market for this powerful King Kong of a radio station for so many years. And honestly, every single foundational piece of that station that has left over the course of the last few years, and he is now one of that list, leaves a piece of them behind and takes a part of the station with them. And I just want to say I salute him and all that he meant to this station, to the listeners, to the market, for all that he put in.
Well, thank you, Paul. I appreciate it.
Well, there he is. Okay. Go ahead, Dove. React to that.
Well, Paul and I go way back for when he was running down the field on the sideline with the Giant players. So, I mean, Paul's been with us for a long time, too. I wouldn't say it's the way Paul said it. I've helped, but I appreciate his thoughts.
Well, honestly, man, I wish you all the best.
I think everything that Paul said was correct and well-deserved. Dove, on top of everything else, is also a very humble human being. But he's going to have to deal with all the praise that is heaped upon him here in the last couple of days. And that might make him uncomfortable, but so be it, because he deserves all of it and more. All right, Paul, I am of the opinion that you're going 2-0 these last 2 weeks.
Okay. Really?
You know, the news is not good today, Paul, with no Brock Bowers and no Jeremy Chin. And look, these are professionals. There is no way. And I get if they lose the two games, they'll have the number one pick. They'll have much better control of their destiny going forward. I get all that. But these are professionals, and no team owned by the Mara family, the Tisch family, is going to just roll over and die. I don't care what the stakes are. Am I correct or am I crazy?
You're absolutely correct, but let me unpack your comment and question into two pieces. The first piece is, How many times could you have said going into the game that the Giants would be at least competitive, if not have a legitimate chance to win? And then somehow they became the most unclutch team in the history of football and found a way to lose. They now have six losses this year that have come in the final 5 minutes of a game or overtime. I have never seen anything like this in my entire 43-year career of covering the Giants in the National Football League. So no matter what you think about this game, Ricky, until they find a way to exercise the unclutched demons from their uniforms, I don't know if they're going to win. Now, in answer to the second part of what you said, there is no question. I've been around a lot of great Super Giants teams that won the Lombardi. I've been around a bunch of Giants teams that had mediocre records and also terrible records like this year. I have never seen a locker room with this poor of a record be so unified, be so positive, be so upbeat, be so confident, be so looking forward to a game every single week with the intensity, the desire, and the emotion to go out there and win. As I talked to Wandale Robinson today, you know, he's closing in on his first ever 1,000-yard receiving season. He's had a career year. He's in a contract year. So he doesn't even know if he's going to be a Giant in 2026. And he was saying to me, why don't people understand? There's a bunch of guys in this locker room who are not going to come back. You know what the overturn is to the roster. And I said, sure. I know. Mm-hmm. In the last few years, you can look at about a third of these guys who will not be here next year. He goes, Paul, let me ask you a question. How many of these guys may not even be in the league next year? Because some of those guys on the bottom of the depth chart, what they're putting on tape in these last couple of weeks is their resume to stay in the league, if not with the Giants, with somebody else. He said to me, why does anybody even think that any of those guys, or he said even me, give 2 cents about a draft choice or about what's going to happen next year? We want to win this game. And I'm sorry, but for all of the folks out there who don't understand that, well, you haven't been in a professional locker room, and you haven't seen these guys work on a daily basis, and you haven't been in their faces after they lose a game and felt their agony and their pain.
No, I agree with you 1,000%. These are ultimate professionals, and the guys on this particular roster, they have mouths to feed, they have futures to secure, and you know what happens to the org, whether they pick first or third, or I think you're guaranteed not to have. It doesn't matter if you win these last two games. They won't pick any less than 6 or 7, I believe. So you're going to get a top
7,
ten pick.
Ricky. Yeah, I think 7. I don't think 7. They can pick lower than 7. But right. Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. What happened in 1981 when the Saints had the first pick and Bum Phillips insisted they take George Rogers and the Giants with the number 2 pick got LT? Do you think anybody was crying about not having the number 1 pick then?
No, you're absolutely right. You are and there have been years when the shoe has been on the other foot. You know, it all depends on scouting and intelligent judgment by the management. Now, having said that, there's 2 games left. Obviously, there'll be a thorough search for a new head coach. In my opinion, I don't think Kafka's got a snowball's chance in you-know-what of staying in that position. But my question is, Joe Shane, okay? It, regardless of whether it's pick 1 or pick 7, Paul, is Joe Shane the guy to make that decision?
I think the way the scale is tipping right now, he is going to be the guy that makes that call. Okay. If the Giants were serious about removing him, they had an opportunity when they removed Brian Daboll. They could have made either Brandon Brown, the assistant GM, the interim GM, or assistant GM Kevin Abrams could have been made the interim GM. If you were going to really get rid of Joe Shane, that was the time to do it. It would have been him and Brian Daboll both at the same time, put interim guys in, finish out the season, and think about what you're going to do with both spots. But that's not what happened. In fact, the quotes from the ownership at that time was that they thought there was a core of good, talented young players on the roster that should move forward, that the team had underachieved. They had made the coaching decision based on that, and that Joe Shane was going to lead the search for the new head coach. Well, the evidence before me says, right there, you put two and two together, it equals four. That says Joe Shane stays. Now, I think the only way that he would not, based on the evidence that we have, this is not an opinion, this is evidence that we have, would be if they were desperate for a particular head coach that's going to become available, whoever it is, Coach X, if they are totally, totally sold that that guy is the answer, and he says, well, I can't take this job unless I have one of my guys being the GM. Now, that's going to probably give them pause. And if they really want that guy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
And the GM is the sticking point. And the coach says, I got to have that GM, and I can't work under the administration that you've had. Well, I suppose there's always a small percentage possibility that that scenario forces a change at the GM. But that, to me, based on the evidence, is the only way Joe Shane isn't back.
Interesting. I don't want to get into specific names because I think that really, at this point especially, is a waste of time. But it, conceptually, all right, and you're around this organization deep in the trenches each and every day, knowing what you know, okay, does this organization go a veteran coach with experience? Do you think they go in the collegiate direction, where obviously it comes from a 180-degree difference, background-wise? Do they go the hot coordinator route? Not names, but in concept, what type of head coach do you think the Giants need moving forward? And is it strictly based on someone that can take Jackson Dart to the next level? Or can they handle that with coordinators or quarterback coach, you know, and keep the head coach in a different realm?
I think that needs to be answered in a couple of parts. As far as Dart's concerned, I don't know that the head coach has to be the guy that grooms Dart and takes him to the next level. That could be the offensive coordinator. So I'm on that page or that particular part of your question. I don't think the head coach is necessarily significantly tied to Dart's development.
Okay.
As long as he appoints the right OC, that's fine. That to me is not an issue. Now, I'll just look at the evidence again. I let the evidence speak because much like a detective on like NCIS, they let the evidence speak. It leads you in a certain direction. The evidence says that the last four coaches who failed for the Giants, and if you want to assume that Mike Kafka is the fifth one, all right, and I guess if you want to assume also that Steve Spagnuolo, who was an interim for four games at one point, now, that would be six, right? If you want to go back and look at that, every one of those guys except for Pat Shurmur had none head coaching experience, right? Mm-hmm. Shurmur had a tiny bit of head coaching experience where he failed in Cleveland. All of the other guys had none. They were simply coordinators. So what does that say? The evidence says that percentage has worked out very, very poorly for this organization. So it seems to me that they would be in concept looking for a guy who has had head coaching experience. I would think preferably NFL head coaching experience, and I would also think preferably someone who has at least won something in the playoffs. Now, that could be the priority. If you can't find somebody who fits the bill, who you like, well, then maybe you got to go down to priority two, which may mean, as much as I would hate to see it, maybe it means a college head coach who has won an awful lot at that level. Or maybe it does mean that you go to a coordinator who has won a lot as a coordinator in the National Football League. I think those are lesser priorities, but if you can't find someone to fit priority A, you got to go to priority B and C.
Interesting. We're talking to PDOT, Paul Dottino on the Giants. All right, let's look at Sunday against the Las Vegas Raiders. No Brock Bowers on the offensive side, possibly their best offensive player. Matter of fact, he is their best offensive player because Genty has been a disappointment this year. And on the defensive side, Jeremy Chinn, probably their second best defender after Max Crosby. Giants, Raiders, on the surface, how does this matchup look to you?
Well, obviously it looks very good for the Giants. I mean, aside from what you just mentioned, why don't we just look at the fact that the Raiders' offensive line is absolutely putrid. They've allowed 57 sacks. They gave up 10 of the game to Cleveland about a month or so ago. I mean, it's awful. You're looking at their tackles. Stone Forsythe was in Giants camp earlier this season after he was in Seattle. Well, then the Raiders plucked him from the Giants, and, you know, the Giants know everything about him. You know what, Ricky? This guy has given up 8 sacks this year, which is tied for the most of any offensive lineman in the league. And then their right tackle, DJ Glaze, he's given up 6 sacks, tied for 9th most in the league. These two guys are going to try to stop a surging Abdul Carter and Brian Burns, who by all stretches of the imagination should be all-pro NFL this year. How well do you think that's going to go for the Raiders offense?
No, you're right. I saw him up close, 31-0 against the Eagles just a couple of weeks ago. But in this crazy league that we're involved in, Paul, they come back and gave the Houston Texans a hell of a fight this past Sunday.
Well, again, this league, I call it the quicksand of mediocrity, because you have to expect the unexpected, and nobody who's supposed to be really good is really, really good. It's just a mediocre league which allows certain teams to rise a little bit above everybody else. And again, the Giants being as unclutch as they have, they could play a really good defensive game and still find a way to lose, as we have seen a number of times this season. But certainly, I would expect that the Giants, on both sides of the ball, offensively and defensively, should really have a very large advantage going into this game. We talk all the time about teams' records. If you look at this Raiders roster, and I know the Giants and the Raiders have both been with 2 wins coming into this game, but if you look at the roster and you look at the competition and the kinds of games that have been played, yeah, the Raiders have had a bunch of close-scoring games, but they haven't really been in those games. The Giants have played 500 caliber football for most of the season, but their unclutchness has them with only 2 wins. The Raiders, they're kind of really what a 2-win team should be.
Yeah.
They can't protect their quarterback, and they're throwing a ton of picks. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, you check it, Ricky, isn't Geno Smith tied for the league lead with interceptions?
He's I believe terrible. You're correct. Yep. Mm-hmm. So it all adds up. I'm picking the Giants. Much to the chagrin of a lot of people that are listening right now that are Giant fans that want that number one pick. These are professionals, as we mentioned at the top of this conversation, and all logic would tell you that the Giants will probably win this game. Before I let you go,
let me ask you something before we go. A couple years ago, a few years ago, there was the Chase Young Bowl. Remember when the Giants had to play the then Washington Redskins?
Yes.
And it was the Chase Young Bowl, and like everyone said, oh my God, the winner's going to lose out on Chase Young. And the Giants won, and Washington got Chase Young. How did that turn out for them?
Yeah.
The Giants got Andrew Thomas.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. You never know because it is a crapshoot with draft picks. Before I let you go, what does it say about the NFC East, Paul? And you were around for every one of these seasons. That it took 21 years to have a back-to-back division champion.
Typically, as I said before, the quicksand of mediocrity. It is what it is, what it is.
21 years to have a repeat with that. That goes to show you, next year it could be anybody. I mean, Washington could bounce back. You know, the Giants could take a quantum leap. Dallas, who knows? I mean, the history of the NFC East has been topsy-turvy for such a long time. Paul, have some beef or some chicken, all right? While the rest of the family is having the traditional seven fishes, my friend. You know, and now at least I know, the next time, if I ever invite you out to dinner, it's steakhouse. It's pure steakhouse. I will not steer you toward any seafood, my friend.
I like how you said steer me. Is that a pun right there?
You read between the lines. Good luck on Sunday, Paul, and thank you for a couple minutes. Merry Christmas to you and yours.
Oh, Merry Christmas, my friend. Safe travels with Philly in the playoffs.
Yeah, we're going to Buffalo on Sunday, so I'm taking my winter coat. You can believe that, all right?
You got it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.